he like brought it up to the back of the house. He's like, hey, I got some that we're going to work on. And so he shows me this old Porsche. So I was completely ecstatic. So I think when we got it, we definitely wanted to do like an RWB. Yeah, after the car is all built, it's at the very front of LeMay. Yeah, they were very gracious to let me keep it there.
That is Simon Wood, a young car enthusiast who recently had his Porsche modified by renowned Japanese designer Akira Nakai. And for those that are in the know, that means that Simon is now the proud owner of an RWB Porsche. This custom build was recently undertaken live in Tacoma, Washington at LeMay America's Car Museum, where as of this recording, the car is still on display. This is Fuel for the Future, presented by State Farm Insurance and driven by America's Automotive Trust. I'm Michael May. Before we dive into the interview, it's important to know what an RWB Porsche build is. An RWB Porsche build represents an iconic transformation of classic Porsche 911 models like the 930, the 993, and the 964, and crafted by designer Akira Nakai. RWB stands for Rauweltbegriff, which translates to Rough World Concept. These builds are not just about high performance, but also about extreme aesthetics and personal expression. Each RWB Porsche is bespoke, reflecting Nakai-san's meticulous handiwork. The process often involves wide body modifications, dramatic aerodynamic customizations, deep dish wheels, and complemented by a lower stance. The result is a street-legal race car that, well, quite honestly, it turns heads because of its exaggerated lines and bold presence. All of the work is done by hand and often can be completed by Nakai-san in just a matter of days. The process has its naysayers because the builds often involve cutting into and changing classic Porsches. But each RWB is unique. These vehicles are about making a statement as much as they are about speed and performance, embodying a fusion of art and automotive engineering. Hi, Simon. Thank you for coming on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Simon Wood. I'm 24 years old. I've kind of been a little bit interested in cars for a decent amount of my life. Kind of started back when I found the show Top Gear, the UK version, back in like 2009, 2010. So watched a bunch of those, had some family friends get me into working on some cars. So I actually got my degree in automotive technology at Shoreline and, you know, worked at Hyundai for a few years. Nice. Had a quick stint actually working on like some Ferraris, and also, you know, like mom and pop shops. So I've kind of had kind of a broad general experience kind of being in the automotive industry.
Well, what are your goals in the automotive industry? Do you want to be a designer? Do you want to have your own shop?
Well, the funny thing was I originally wanted to open up my own shop, mm-hmm. kind of like custom performance shop. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it and I loved the people that I worked with and had a lot of great experiences and I learned a lot, but I just don't think it's really for me. I'm actually going to school right now for music production.
Good for you. And you know, especially with customizations, which is going to be a big topic today, you know, there is that artistic creative process within that as well as music production. So I can mm-hmm. see the connective tissue there. So RWB. When were you first aware of RWB Porsches?
So I think it all starts back to, is mid-2019. My dad and I at the time would always watch Donut Media on YouTube. Mm-hmm. They saw that they released a up to speed on RWB. My dad and I had no idea what RWB was. We had no idea what it stood for. So we were just kind of like, casually watching the video and we're like, oh, wait a minute, this is really cool. So we, you know, a few months go by and I think my dad just off chance was just looking at Bring a Trailer and he saw like an old listing out in Carnation for a 95993. Like the pictures, like the car had like stuff on top of it or it was kind of hard to tell. So mm-hmm. he kind of drove out there to check it out. And this is also totally like without my knowing at all.
Oh, really? Okay.
He got this idea because I was like, oh man, RWBs are really cool, but I didn't really think anything much else of it. So I just kind of went along my days and just working, and he was kind of doing all this in the background. So yeah, I found this car and I emailed you some of the pictures.
Yes. Yes. And what year is that car?
Yeah, it's a 1995 911 C2.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a beautiful looking 911. It's got that kind of purple, I call it a purple, mm-hmm. but it has sort of a purple color to it. What kind of shape was it in?
Mechanically and structurally, super sound. And okay. Those are really the two things that mattered most with it, because mm-hmm. We were probably going to be gutting everything else anyways, but it had some like interesting modifications to it. Like it had a stereo system, but we have no idea how it was wired. It wasn't working. And okay. The passenger seat belt was replaced with a carabiner and a drywall screw, like screwed into the side of the seat.
Oh, so yeah, of course. Yeah. I do. Yeah.
Pretty awesome. To be honest, with all of the cars I've worked on, I've really never worked on a rear engine. Well, not rear engine, but like flat engines. Haven't worked a whole lot with flat engines, and especially like air cooled. Because I was so privileged to be working with OBD2 and, you know, just plugging your scan tool and just figuring out, oh, okay, it's just this. And then all that easy stuff. So it was, is going to give me a big challenge to figure out, you know, pre OBD2 diagnostics in case anything goes wrong. So a big change of pace for being a mechanic.
When did the option to do an RWB customization on it happen? And also tell us about how you got affiliated with LeMay America's Car Museum to do kind of a live build.
Yeah. So I think what started it to become an RWB is, I think as soon as we got done watching that donut video, the seed was planted in my dad's head. Like, I think that's why he started like looking around, bring a trailer. And, you know, he bought the car, didn't tell me. I think he had it hidden like somewhere else, like at his friend's garage for like a month or something. And then, like out of nowhere, he like brought it up to the back of the house. He's like, hey, I got something that we're going to work on. And so he shows me this old Porsche. So I was completely ecstatic. So I think when we got it, we definitely wanted to do like an RWB. Because I feel like we also purchased the kit pretty soon after we had the car. So I think that was the whole goal for that car. With that being said, we had to do a bunch of stuff before we can actually like, you know, get the kit on the car and kind of finish it. So we gutted the interior. We had the car repainted. We were originally going to do like a pearlescent white with gold wheels, mm-hmm. but we thought the kind of purplish blue, I think it's called iris metallic blue, that factory color, just fits so well with kind of the shape of the car. And I liked it a lot. So we were like, let's just kind of redo it in the same color.
Sure.
Because, you know, the paint was kind of starting to fade a bit. So we repainted it in the same color. We had the interior done at Northwest Crafted Interiors. And I think we put on the suspension, the KW-V3 suspension, like coilovers. And we got some two-piece Brembo rotors and then some Brembo calipers as well. So we kind of did the majority of like the suspension work. And so we were kind of getting all this stuff done. And, you know, this is also during COVID where that kind of threw a wrench in things, because originally we were supposed to have the car done in 2022. And so, you know, all the borders like got closed off.
Oh,
so
of
everyone
course.
Was,
yeah.
Everyone was
yeah.
just kind of hanging out. So,
right.
we finally get a, I think it was an email from the RWB office in LA saying that we're going to be on the list pretty soon for him, for Nakai-san to come and put the car together. Nice. So, and I knew that LeMay, back in like 2018, 2019 did, that Fantasy Colors build, the number five. So I just, I think I just called their front desk. I was just like, hey, I was thinking about getting, having like an opportunity for an RWB to be built here. I was just wondering like who I should talk to. So, that's when they put me in contact with Gabe.
Yes. Yes.
And so, yeah, that from there, they're like, yeah, let's totally do it. They were super ecstatic. So I was super jazzed to have been able to work with them to get the build all done there.
And so Nakai-san, Akira Nakai, who's the brainchild, sort of the myth, the legend as RWB Porsches spread around the world, he comes in and he actually works on the car personally. And what was that like?
It was really, really cool. And I think what made it so special was just, it's almost, what's the word? It's almost like he's a myth.
Exactly.
You don't hear a lot about the whole process at all.
Yeah.
Literally, like, the only knowledge we knew on RWB was like that Up to Speed video.
Right.
This whole time until they like emailed us and being like, okay, he's going to be here on these dates. And we're like, okay. So that's when we had to like kind of rush and get everything like back together. And yeah, it was a whole process, but it was so much fun to get to know Nakai-san and Yuki and their dog Bagel. I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
I thought I had to like way over plan and over prep. And I thought that everything had to be like completely perfect for him. And then when I actually meet him, he's just like the nicest dude in the world. Mm-hmm. It's just super laid back, super friendly, is down for anything, like just super down to earth. And so he was a real, real treat to be able to work with.
And how long did it take him to work on the car? How long did he work on the car?
It was only 2 days.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I figured. That's what I figured. And for anybody that doesn't know RWB or has not watched Akira Nakai work, Google it, look on YouTube. It's actually pretty fascinating. Porsche purist might not enjoy watching him work, but it is fascinating. He is very quiet. I haven't really seen interviews with him. I've just seen him in action working. And so it takes 2 days. He finishes. What happens then? What do you guys do with the car after that?
So after everything was said and done, we took it out to the front of the museum just to like take photos. And after the car is all built, I think I took Nakai and Yuki along with some of my best friends just to go to dinner and celebrate for, you know, having a car being built. And the next day after that, I took the car out with a bunch of car photographers and videographers. And we got some rolling shots out in downtown Tacoma of the build. And I think like someday there's probably going to be a YouTube video on the build.
There should be. So. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It would be crazy not to. I think you got to share these kind of things. So where is the car now? Do you have it in your garage? Are you driving it around? What's going on with it?
So the car is actually still in LeMay. Yeah. It's at the very front of LeMay. Yeah, they were very gracious to be able to let me keep it there for now, just because I'm actually living in Austin and I didn't feel the need to transport the car all the way over here just yet.
No.
Because you know how much of a hassle that is. And
yes, yes.
With how wide the car is now, I don't know what kind of trailer I'm going to need to get to actually fit on a trailer. So it'll be a whole process getting it to wherever I eventually like stay. So I was like, let's just, instead of like having it sit in a storage unit, let's just have a bunch of people come enjoy it instead of, you know, just having it sit behind a closed garage, right?
Absolutely. And because this is an audio form of a show and people can't see visually your car, describe what it's like now after the work you had done to it.
It's like driving a steamroller in like all the best ways imaginable. Just we have 335s in the rear, which are just unreal. It's the kind of tires that you can just sit upright and they won't like fall over. And you can just use it as a seat. Like they're insane. That is just unreal street presence. Like you feel like you're driving a car that's like five times as big as it is, but it's still just as nimble as like a really light sports car. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, it's almost impossible to explain what it's like.
And is it lighter now? Because I know some of his builds, he's like gone in and actually made things lighter.
Yeah. With his custom, with his Stella, he did a bunch of weight reduction to that car. I mean, that car is really made for track days only.
Right.
While mine's more of like just like cars and coffee, road trip,
fun, cruising. Drive around.
So I don't think it's any lighter.
Yeah. And how much wider is it now?
It has to be at least like a foot and a half wider. Right. Like it's just ridiculous. I had no idea just how wide that car was going to be until he put like the rear and front bumper on. I was like, it's sticking out that much? Oh my God. Yeah. And he's like, oh yeah, be careful in drive-thrus. I was like, okay, noted.
Yeah.
Noted for sure.
And now let's talk about something I'm actually kind of fascinated to talk to you about. I am not a purist by any means. I do tend to like my personal cars. I tend to like things that are as original as possible, but I'm also somebody that's like, people have been customizing cars forever. Mm-hmm. It's yours. Do what you want with it. Have fun. And I do know that there are people that don't like seeing somebody go to a Porsche and take a saw and cut things off with hand and just kind of manually tinker around. So what are your thoughts on that? And what do you even have to say to people that may not be fans of something like an RWB Porsche?
I mean, hey man, everyone can have their opinion. That's fine. Like I understand I feel like there is a definite time and a place to understand and respect the history of these cars, but I don't think we need to do that for every single one ever made. And you know, if it makes me happy and a bunch of other people I like really happy, then in life, that's all that matters. So
absolutely. And I think it can inspire. You never know who's going to see something like a build like an RWB and get inspired to either say, hey, car design, that's fun. Oh, wait, I can customize cars. I can get a kit. I can do what I want. Like there is something that I think can be inspirational about, you know, these kinds of things.
100%. Yeah.
And maybe even draw in people that weren't interested in cars beforehand. Maybe that's a way in for some folks as well. And that's
because it really does like collide, you know, like bespoke art and like really cool cars into one thing. So it's hard not to love it.
Yeah. Do you have any future plans with the car besides just to have fun, do cars and coffee, things like that? Or are you planning to be like, hey, I want to hang on to it for 10 years and I'm going to sell it? Or are you just like, no, I'm just going to take it day by day, have fun with the car, maybe do some more? Like, what are your thoughts?
Yes, it definitely is a project car and will probably forever be a project car. I want to keep it in the family unless like something really bad happens where I need to sell it.
Right.
But my plans are for now is just getting it, bulletproofing it some, just kind of working out all the little kinks. Cause you know, it's still an old German car from the 90s. So it has plenty of, you know, quirks and electrical issues and all that stuff. But mechanically it's sound, but I want to drop the motor at some point, do a full reseal, tune up, you know, replace all the fluids, get it, you know, road trip ready because some owners, I think this year in the summer, I think are doing a big road trip from like LA to Vegas. So it'd be cool to at some point get the car to that kind of reliability where I just wouldn't even have to like think about like it breaking down.
Yeah.
I don't think it will, but it's good to be safe.
Go ahead.
Let's see. Eventually I might want to either put a turbo in it. And I've also seen some people that have LS swapped theirs. You know, obviously always keep the original motor, but like Rutledge Woods RWB is fantastic. So if you should see pictures of that car, that thing is mental.
Awesome. And for people out there that are like, hey, wait, Simon Wood was able to get Nakai-san out to work on a car, it's got to be easy. Do you have advice for people that are just interested to learn more about this or the process or anything like that?
It takes a lot of patience and, kind of just being at the right place at the right time. I think on RWB's website, they kind of break down the whole process, but basically if you buy a body kit from them, like obviously you have to have like the right kind of models that they like to work on.
Yes.
Like usually like a 964, 993. And then when you buy the body kit, you also buy, you know, like the opportunity to fly Nakai over to work on the car. So it's kind of like a package deal when you buy the body kit from them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you'd have to, you know, find the wheels, the suspension, if you want to repaint it or wrap it or whatever. And a lot of it is up to you on how you want things done. You know, RWBs have been like, you have some that are like completely finished and the only thing that it needs is just the body kit put on. And then there's some RWBs that don't even have engines in them that get the body kits put on. So it's a very free form process. It's not like super rigid. So it's super like flexible, fluid. Okay, how do you want things?
As it should be, it seems like. That seems to really fit it. Yeah, yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, actually, I have a funny story for when I had to take Nakai-san and Yuki to Home Depot like the night before the first day of the build. Did you ever hear about that story?
No, I haven't. Please share.
So this was literally the night before the first day of the build, and I took Nakai-san to look over the body kit just to make sure everything was there. And I don't know what happened, but all of the rubber pieces around like the front lip and the side skirts and the mounting bracket and the end plates for the GT2 wing were just gone. Like just didn't exist. And he's like, where are all these pieces? And I was like, I have no idea.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, oh man, it was so stressful. And we're like, okay, he's like, okay, we're going to Home Depot. And we're like, all right, let's do it. So we went to Home Depot like 9 p.m. And man, we scanned like every single aisle of that store just to find something that we could use as a replacement. And man, we were on a mission. We were like running up and down each aisle.
I bet. Yeah.
We were almost finding like something that we could use as like a substitute. We had like all the staff at the Home Depot come and like look on like their website to see if they can find anything. Like, okay, we need like rubber that's like this thick and we need like this much of it and it has to be black. And it was a whole process. We got the whole store working on trying to find these pieces for us. We eventually did find this big, like it was like $80, this huge roll of kind of like cork rubber. It was like the same thickness. So we're like, okay, this will just have to do. So we get that, and literally the morning of the first day of the build, I find all the missing parts. at the bottom of a box that was filled with all of the old parts that we weren't going to put on the car.
Right.
Like,
right.
Of course I'd put it there. Like,
of course. Yeah. That's the way it always works out.
So yeah, that got the heart rate up a little bit.
Yeah.
got my brow sweating just a bit. The really cool thing, my favorite part of the car is, when we got all the rubber, everything's fine. So the car's all done, but the turn signals that I have for the front bumper are the US version that requires the little rubber bump stops instead of the Euro turn signals that are like really big. And so the bumper that we have for the kit is for the Euro turn signals. So when we put the US turn signals on, there's about like 2-3 inch gap, where it's just kind of like, you know, not nice looking, where it's just kind of like, obviously there's supposed to be like something covering it. And so a light bulb went off in my head and I was like, oh, let's use this huge, like giant roll of rubber and we'll make little cutouts, like little patches to like insert, into like where the bump stops would be. And so he liked that idea. So he went like straight to work, like cutting out these patches. So it's really cool that we were able to use that roll of rubber that we found at Home Depot for the build. And honestly, like I was thinking like, oh, okay, I'll just get the Euro turn signals later. But I was like, no, it's like a personal touch.
Absolutely.
It's a good memory.
And I love coming up with ideas on the spot. You know, talk about the creativity of something like this, where you're going to encounter problems and how do you creatively fix it and still make it something that's worthwhile and cool.
And that was something I really, really appreciated about Nakai, was just, he is just like, just there to like be awesome and to help and do whatever that needs to be done to get the car done to how we want it. And it was just a really fun time. And yeah.
Nice.
And like, if you look at the front of the car, like you almost can't tell. But yeah, you'll see those tiny little black squares, and
yeah,
that's that roll of rubber that we found at Home Depot.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's fantastic. And that's also why I think, you know, your thought of trying to keep this in the family long term is special too, because of these little personal touches to the car that mean so much.
Yeah, it's 100%. I mean, it's like signifies like, you know, being able to build that relationship with Nakai-san and just having that experience was just one in a million. Couldn't have asked for anything more. It was just so cool seeing him work and seeing the passion that he puts into that car. And you can just see he could do it with his eyes closed, really.
Right, like, right.
Just legendary.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Simon. I really appreciate you sharing this story. And for people to learn more about RWB Porsches, you know, anything customizable is always a little fascinating to me, because I cannot work on a car. So I always appreciate those that can and get really fascinated with it. And if anybody wants to see pictures or anything, is there like a social media place? Do you share things? Or is it just in the future, we hope LeMay America's Car Museum is going to put out some content or anything like that?
Yeah. So, I'm planning on posting more photos on my Instagram. You want me to email you the
handle? I'll provide a link in the show notes for it. Sure.
Okay, cool. So on my Instagram, I have some photos already there from, the photographers there that are just kind of taking pictures on the side. And then I'm also going to post some of those rollers that we did after build was completed at some point. And then, so you'll see those there, and I'll try to give you the handles for all the photographers that were there, because they've all posted like a bunch of really
fantastic
cool stuff on their Instagrams too.
That'd be great. I'll share all those in the show notes.
I really do appreciate you having me on this, Michael, and it was a really fun time being able to talk about this car.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening to Fuel for the Future, presented by State Farm Insurance and driven by America's Automotive Trust. To learn more, visit americasautomotivetrust.org. And before you go, take a quick moment to hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you listen to podcasts.